There's an old joke about a heads I win, tails you lose kind of agreement, where when you first hear it, it sounds like two fair options. But when you think about it for an extra second, it's clear that no matter what happens, the outcome is exactly the same. And in this week's Parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu seems to make that very same kind of dead-end agreement. After dealing with the horrific challenge by Korach and Dathan and Aviram, who put into question not only Moshe's right to be the leader, and Aaron HaKohen's right to be the Kohen Gadol, but they questioned whether Moshe was ever sent by Hashem, and whether the entire Torah and mitzvos that he had taught them were bogus. And Moshe tries everything to reconcile. He speaks to Dathan, Aviram, to Korach. They don't want to talk to him. It's going nowhere. And finally, at a terrible standstill, he turns to Hashem and he says, "We got to put an end to this." And this is Moshe's deal. He says, "Hashem, if these people are right, if their challenge is right, if I'm bogus, and Aaron's bogus, and the whole Torah is bogus, then they should die a natural death. But if they're wrong, if I'm right, and Torah is real, and Aaron's real, and I'm real, then they should die a spectacular death." And sure enough, the ground opens up, swallows them whole, and closes back up again, clearly showing Moshe was right, and Korach's challenge was wrong. But let's go back to Moshe's agreement. What did he say? Yeah, if they're wrong, if the challenge is wrong, and it's all a chil Hashem for nothing, then they should die a supernatural death. Okay, but Moshe also said, even if they're right, then they should die a natural death. Even if they're right and the entire Torah is fake, they're still going to die? Doesn't matter whether they're going to die a natural death or a supernatural death, but either way, they die. That's a real heads I win, tails you lose kind of agreement. The outcome is the same, but if the people are right, and really Moshe was using nepotism to choose Aaron, so then why should they have to die at all? Shemin HaTov quotes the Belzer Rebbe, who says, from here we see that there's a right way to be right and a wrong way to be right. Because even if Korach and his challengers, even if Korach was right about Moshe being fake and Aaron being fake and the Torah being fake and Moshe was a charlatan, even if they were right, they were wrong in their approach. Their decision to make a mockery of it, to make a spectacle, to make a big chil Hashem, that was wrong, even if, in fact, they were correct. And often we think about the true sign of a great person is, how do they behave when they're wrong? Do they have the courage to get up and to say, "I was mistaken"? Or do they get defensive? Or do they try to buckle down and to refuse to let go and be extra stubborn? But the Shemin HaTov says, in addition to that, perhaps even more than that, the true mark of a person is, how do they behave when they're right? How do they behave when they think that they're right and someone poses a challenge? Are they condescending and dismissive? Or understanding and patient? And what happens when they're actually proven to be right? The person admits that they're right. Do they rub it in their face? Hold it over their head? Tell other people just to notice? Or are they kind, respectful, letting them down easy? "I understand why you thought that. It's okay. It was a good decision. It was a good idea." And often in relationships, be it marriage or roommates or friends or even strangers, people can be so focused on being right, on showing that they're right, on maintaining that they're right, that in the process they can just destroy an entire relationship, being right in the wrong way. I still remember one time being at a meal where a couple was having a disagreement about something, obviously before they came, and the husband just wanted to have everyone confirm that his wife was wrong. It's a matter of 10th grade chemistry, something uninteresting. But he wanted everyone to say, "Did you know this? You know, Hadassah thinks this." And people were uncomfortable, and I couldn't help but think that here's a person who wants to be right at the point of ruining the relationship. And I kept thinking of the quote that's hanging in many offices of marriage counselors that says, "Do you want to be right? Or do you want to be happy? Do you want to be right? Or do you want to have a good relationship with someone?" There's a right way to win an argument. There's a right way to make someone feel that their ideas are being heard. And even when they're mistaken, it's okay. Don't worry about it. We're not going to talk about it anymore. When I think about this topic of a right way to win, I like to think about baseball. Specifically how baseball is different than every other sport. In every other sport, when the game is over, there's obviously a winner and a loser, but they line up. In hockey, they shake hands. In football, they come in that circle with all the reporters and they hug. But in baseball, the winning team shake hands with themselves. They line up with themselves and shake hands, while the losing team goes to the dugout and leaves the field. It wasn't always that way. In Little League, baseball players are taught to line up, shake hands. But as they get professional, somehow they forget how to win, how to be right, to rub it in someone else's face, to have that gigantic walk-off celebration. And interestingly, that term, walk-off, which describes the winning team winning in their final at-bat, nowadays the term means to the winning team walks off triumphantly. But even the origin of that term just shows how terrible it can feel when people don't know how to win. That term was actually coined by a pitcher in the 1980s named Dennis Eckersley, Hall of Fame closer. As a closer, he was often the one who gave up the winning run, the losing pitcher. And when he used the term walk-off, he wasn't referring to the winning team walking off victoriously. He was referring to himself and the losing team walking off in shame, having to leave the field with his head down, trying not to get hit by the guy rounding third with the winning run. Because in baseball, it seems, people don't know how to win. They don't know how to be right without making the other team feel like losers. Rishol Salanter used to explain that Chazal have an expression in Pirkei Avos, Machlokas L'Shem Shemayim is Sofa L'Hiskayim, which he took out of context to mean a Machlokas L'Shem Shemayim, when a Machlokas is fueled by people who think that they're right, who are acting in their minds L'Shem Shemayim, the will of God, the self-righteousness. That Machlokas is Sofa L'Hiskayim, will last forever. Because who's going to back down when they're right? Who's going to back down when they are acting in the name of Hashem? If I'm right and you're standing in my way, you're an obstacle to my goal, I'm never going to give in on this. It's a matter of principle, matter of religious passion. Sofa L'Hiskayim. We learn from our Parsha, Hashem and Atov's idea, that it's not just important to know how to be wrong, but it's even more important, perhaps, to know how to be right, how to maintain the relationship, despite the fact that we're right. How to make someone else feel that their ideas are valued even when they're proven to be unsuccessful. Hashem should help us learn this lesson, that there's a right way to be right and a wrong way to be right. And by putting shalom and putting the relationship above everything else, by wanting to be happy more than wanting to be right, to truly make sure that all of our machlokeses are actually, properly, l'shem shemayim.